Reuters reported that President Donald Trump kicked off his trip to the Gulf. He was yesterday in Saudi Arabia, complimenting the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and saying that he does so much and he... it's because, you know, he has a strong affection and affinity. But all of this just appeared to be a business deal because the U.S. economy is in tatters and it requires investment. And hence, we could see Jeff Bezos there. We could see Elon Musk there, amongst others. So a lot of announcements coming, kind of just subtly throwing in their normalization between the kingdom and apartheid Israel, saying that when the kingdom is ready, they will eventually do what they feel should be done. But $600 billion commitment from Saudi Arabia to invest in the U.S., and the U.S. also agrees to sell Saudi an arms deal, essentially in excess of $142 billion. This is exactly what the doctor ordered financially because the U.S. requires it. Dr. Oscar van Heerden, international relations expert, online. Doc, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listeners.
Doc, essentially, Donald Trump was the businessman yesterday in Saudi Arabia, and I anticipate he will probably just continue being that businessman looking at transactions and deals which the U.S. economy requires. I'm sure he'll be doing the same in the UAE and Qatar.
No, absolutely. This is where he's most comfortable. He's a businessman. He's a transactional leader. He's a deal maker, far removed from the everyday global politics of China and refugees from South Africa. He is now most comfortable. And already we see that he's landed quite a big deal in Saudi Arabia.
Massive deal. Doc, the fact that we saw Elon Musk there, Jeff Bezos, a couple of other big corporate businesses and known heads in the United States, also kind of like part of the entourage. These were all part of the deals that the U.S. really, really requires. And he seemed very upbeat at the end of his one-day trip in Saudi.
They're certainly making the most of it. As you know, the reason why Trump is on this trip, on this tour in the Middle East, is partly because the U.S. economy is in tatters. The U.S. economy is taking a beating. This is why, as soon as he came into the office, he had to try and sort of bring a halt to the looming crisis, and you know, everything was taken back. Aid was stopped to various countries because the argument from Trump is we can't be charitable when we don't have money back home for our own citizens. There isn't enough work in the United States, hence the tariffs, wanting to force manufacturing to come back to the U.S. And of course, the only thing that is not affected is the military-industrial complex. And as we've seen, $145 billion U.S. dollar deal with Saudi Arabia alone. And I'm sure he's going to be looking for making more deals in terms of weapons packages, etc., with the others.
It certainly seems that it will pretty much be a duplication of the same deals on the cards in the UAE as well as Qatar. Now, Dr. Oscar, I mean, he kind of like subtly threw that in there from a political perspective, but maybe that just once again reinforces the political and legislation or geopolitical acumen that he's maybe, you know, bereft of, because he doesn't appear really to be the, you know, astute politician. And many have argued he lacks the understanding of legislation and geopolitics. But he kind of like subtly threw this in there and making a reference to the fact that it could well be a dream that the kingdom would maybe focus on its own time, and that is normalization of ties between Saudi Arabia and apartheid Israel. He just kind of subtly threw that in there at the end.
I'm sure that would be a wish, but unfortunately, it's a pipe dream. I think that the Saudi prince has made it very clear. You know, Biden apparently asked him directly, why do you care about the Palestinians? To which Serban Solomon said, you know, I don't care about the Palestinians really, but my people do. And I think we can reference that with the King of Jordan. Mm. Truth be told, he might not have a lot of things harbored for solidarity with the Palestinians, but the Jordanians do. And so the list continues. The same can be said about the Egyptian government. If it was up to them, they would want to wish away the Palestinian national cause, but the Egyptians, the ordinary Egyptians, are the ones that are saying no. It can't continue like this. And so these governments in the Far East, you know, it is the people within these governments that are keeping the Palestinian cause alive. And yes, he's trying to make a reference to the old Abraham Accords, mm. which, as you know, he was the leader of.
Yes.
But after the genocide in Gaza and what Netanyahu is doing in the West Bank and Lebanon and so on, those accords are dead in the water.
Mm. So where it stands now, $600 billion, that's the investment. Saudi and the U.S. also agreed to $142 billion arms deal. And then he also made the announcement that the U.S. will effectively take steps to lift the sanctions on Syria. And this has pretty much been Washington's policy for many, many, many years. And when he made that announcement, essentially the Saudi government officials applauded and stood up. Why did he say that?
Well, it's all part of the geopolitical game that is being played here. We all know that the reason why those sanctions were in place with Syria is because the U.S. government didn't support Assad.
Mm.
The CIA sponsored various extremist groups over the last few years to put up a big fight against Assad's government. Eventually, the government did fall last year, November. Assad had to run and take refuge in Russia. And so the new government that is in place in Syria is more sort of favorable towards the U.S. So Trump mustn't pretend as if there's been a change of heart. There's been a change of heart because there's been a change of government instigated by the United States.
Mm.
And that's why he's more than happy to now say sanctions are going to fall away and we are going to speak to the Crown Prince to make that happen.
Mm. And then essentially over the past weekend, the U.S. and China met in Switzerland. And obviously talk centered around the tariff wars, etc. The United States were very quick to come out on Monday morning at the start of the week, Dr. Oscar, to say, you know, we managed to iron out everything. The Chinese are in agreement, etc. They were rather upbeat, but not giving any specifics. And when the Chinese counterparts were quizzed, Dr. Oscar, about the discussions, the Chinese were rather circumspect, not really giving anything away, save for what we do know is a 90-day freeze and pause on the tariffs between China and the US. But nothing really concrete has been decided upon as yet, despite the fact that the Trump administration is once again running off in the direction saying that we've claimed victory here.
Absolutely. I mean, the truth is that they're trying to spin it in a particular way. The phone call never came. Trump lied when he said that Xi is going to call soon.
Mm.
The Chinese just called their bluff, didn't respond, and hit them where it hurts the most. They simply did not think or anticipated that the Chinese would actually target the agriculture sector in the U.S. And as soon as the tariff were enforced by Trump, China immediately seized all contracts of soybeans, which amounted to the loss of billions by U.S. farmers. In fact, they were so adamant, they said, even those that are already en route here on ships, we are not going to receive those ships in our ports. Tell them to turn around and go back to the U.S. They immediately made a deal with Brazil to cover the shortfall. So clearly it says to us that they knew something like this was coming, given the Trump arrogance, and they put the necessary plans in place for alternative and diversified the markets. It hit America hard in terms of soybeans, in terms of pork, as well as sorghum, and that was just the start. They also thought that they were going to hurt the Chinese by instructing U.S. companies and European companies not to sell very sophisticated chips to China so that it will retard them technologically. Huawei has just released the 910C chip that is so revolutionary. It is competition to some of the most sophisticated chips in the world. And again, China is saying, we don't need you. So for all these reasons, they then have to quiet. They were wanting to save face. They can't fly to Beijing and go and beg with a begging bowl. Mm. So they say, let's meet in Switzerland to keep it all under wraps, away from the cameras, because they are too embarrassed that their trade war against China never actually worked.
So effectively where we stand, and I mentioned it on the show yesterday, Dr. Oscar, so round one concluded. So where we stand now, Beijing 1, Washington 0. That's where it stands. Absolutely. Effectively.
Absolutely, and Beijing is going to still kick some more goals. Because the truth of the matter is that China is just in a different league. You know, they are not run by some narcissistic individual. They are not run by the whims of one individual that thinks he is the most powerful person. The Chinese Communist Party and the leadership under Xi, they are collective. They think very deeply about what's important for the country. They plan 100 years ahead, not 5-year or 4-year terms. And this is why they will always outmaneuver the Americans.
Mm. So, Dr. Oscar, closer to home, from a South African perspective, we are scheduled to host the G20 summit in November. Trump effectively saying that he will not be attending with what is going on, a so-called white genocide. 49 Afrikaners obviously fled, and I use this in air quotes. I put it in air quotes. They fled to the U.S. for greener pastures, effectively classifying themselves as refugees, which I think is just a deplorable way of just reducing what a refugee is actually. And then President Ramaphosa, we now understand, will be meeting with President Trump in the United States. Was this perhaps not too premature for our president to call for this meeting?
You know, the unfortunate thing is that given the relations that are in such a bad way, started by the Trump administration as far back as February, we've always wanted a meeting with the United States to try and patch up the relationship. In addition to that, we then have this complete falsehoods and lies about persecution against Afrikaners, killing of farmers, and so on and so forth. It's all part of a bigger campaign. I think it's very important that the listeners understand this.
Yes.
Trump is doing this. Trump is doing this not because he doesn't know the truth. Of course, the State Department knows what the situation in South Africa. They have embassies here, they have staff here, they have consular generals here. Everyone in South Africa will have told them that there is no such happening. There is no genocide. There is no farms that are being targeted and so on, and land that's being grabbed. But that's not what they want to hear. You see, when you want to attack someone, it can't be a good guy. Mm. You can't attack a good guy. You can only justify attacking a bad guy.
Yes.
And so Trump has been on this campaign of wanting to turn a good South Africa, who is a good international citizen, who complies with international laws, who have elections every 5 years, and do all the things correctly. You can't attack such a South Africa. You can only attack a South Africa that is part of the axis of evil with Iran and Russia. You can only attack a South Africa that is persecuting some segments of their society and killing them and so forth. And you can only attack such a South Africa that is not subscribing to human rights because they hardly look after their own citizens with service delivery and crime stats and so on and so forth. This has been the consistent narrative, and I don't think it is going to somehow miraculously change when Ramaphosa walks into the Oval Office. Mm. I think that that Pretoria and the president needs to expect a very cold reception, the question that must be uppermost in their minds is how do we avoid, if at all possible, a Zelensky moment? Because Trump and Vance and Elon Musk will be there for sure, all going to be saying all kinds of nasty things on international media about, they'll be repeating the lies.
Yes.
In front of the cameras and in front of President Ramaphosa, because they want to evoke emotion. And yes, the president might be calm, he might stand his ground, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be a very pleasant experience. And they might even go as far, in order to justify future sanctions against particular individuals in our government, in our ruling party, they might even also go to the level of saying that, you know, you are not doing anything about your leaders in the ANC, for example, who are corrupt. What about you? U.S. dollars were found in your couches in Kalapala. What are you saying about that? And all of this will have been playing out in front of cameras. So I do hope that Derko and the presidency have got a strategy. I do hope they know how to manage these things. Trump is a man of sound bites. We've seen over the last few weeks, they're doing terrible things to some people over there. They're killing farmers. They're grabbing land without compensation. These are the sound bites. There's no appetite for long explanations.
Yes.
Ramaphosa must be responding in sound bites. It's not true. Our constitution is the supreme law. We invite anyone to come to South Africa to interview our white citizens, etc. And you need to have those short, sweet, very pointed responses, because that's what the media is going to pick up on. And I think what Ramaphosa should do perhaps is to stay a little bit longer beyond the meeting with Trump, maybe for 2 days at least, where he can meet with other people, directly with businesses, directly with church groups, with the Black Caucus, in order to speak to some Americans directly and say, these falsehoods are not true, it's not happening, and we don't know why your president is insisting on it.
Very true. Dr. Oscar van Heerden, international relations expert. Thanks so much for your time in PM Drive, sir.
Always a pleasure.